Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time. I tell you something. God has a good plan for your life. But the devil's mission is to make sure that you are disconnected. So long as you are disconnected, you can keep crying and shouting, God, where are you? He is there. He never went on leave. He does not slumber and he does not sleep. We need to sleep. God does not sleep. Hallelujah. God does not change his mind. He said, I'm the Lord. I don't change. Hallelujah. The problem is never on God's side. It will never be. He is perfect. Deuteronomy 32, I believe. It says, ascribe greatness to our Lord the Rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are just. He's a God of faithfulness. There is no injustice in God. None. Zero. Hallelujah. If it's not working, it's not on God's side. It's on man's side. Hallelujah. So, but why? If God was in control of this world, why is it so messed up? God is not in control of this world. He's not. The last time I checked, who is the Prime Minister of Great Britain? The last time. Because we don't know what will happen in 3 months' time. But the last time.
Theresa May.
Who is administering UK now? Theresa May and the Parliament. Not God. Hallelujah. If a criminal goes forth and commits a crime, who made him do it? Is it God? Hallelujah. God is only in control where we cooperate with him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the believer is the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The reason why we're not seeing the kingdom of God dominate earth is that the believers are not functioning as they should. Every time, he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. But the question you need to ask yourself, how does God's kingdom come? He said, your will be done on earth as it is. That prayer already tells you that God's will is not always being done on earth. Otherwise, you don't need to pray it. Every time that God's will is done on earth, his kingdom comes. Hallelujah. There's no point to be praying, God, let your kingdom come. No, you are the vessel that God will use to bring his kingdom on earth. And in case you're misunderstanding me, what is the kingdom? Romans chapter 14, verse 17. He said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. If you think the kingdom of God is comfort and pleasure, you missed it. Now, that doesn't mean there's no comfort and pleasure involved. But that's not the definition. The kingdom of God is not a permanent holiday in France. Disneyland, Paris. Do you want to go there? Disneyland, Paris. Yeah. It's not sure. Hallelujah. Oh, well, it's part of it, but it's not the definition. Hallelujah. God is only committed to your prosperity so long it aligns to the kingdom of God. Your prosperity outside the kingdom of God is a shame to God because it does not advance the purposes of the kingdom. There are very rich people that are committing atrocities. That does not glorify God. Hallelujah. It doesn't. Your prosperity is only glorified by God when it can advance the kingdom. So what is the kingdom? Romans chapter 14 verse 17. He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, if you want to find out where the kingdom of God is reigning, you can measure it through the fruit of righteousness. Amen? Where God's kingdom is reigning, righteousness. There will be love, not human love. Amen? So love is patient and kind. No, love does not keep record of evil. Amen? It bears all things. It believes all things. Love believes in the truth. It pursues the truth. Love does not compromise truth. It pursues it. Hallelujah. Love does not compromise truth. Love what? Pursues it. Even when it's not convenient. Hallelujah. It's not convenient. But it pursues it. Because it believes in the truth. That is the kingdom. So everything that God does on earth God has an ulterior motive. If I want to say it that way. But that doesn't mean he's selfish. God is not selfish, but he has a motive. Has he ever caught you that God always has, in everything God does, I told you to, yes, last time I said, there is every free gift from God as an assignment. Everything God gives you, there is a purpose, and you will give account. He said it's a free gift, yes, but it has a purpose. There is a motive, there is a purpose. And so anything God gives me, if I'm not using it for that purpose, yeah, I am wasting it and I will give account. Hallelujah. God is not a Father Christmas, but he's a good God. Hallelujah. He's a God of purpose. Hallelujah. He's a God of purpose. And his purposes are good. Hallelujah. God has a plan for my life. And the only way I can fulfill that plan is to cooperate with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so that's why the devil's mission in your life is to disconnect you. Either to make sure you're never connected or to disconnect you from God. Then you will start toiling. Yeah? You'll be using your smart brain. I know your brain is smart. But I want to tell you something about your brain today. Just settle it once and for all. Your brain is not smarter than the devil. And if you thought it was, you missed it. The devil is smarter than you. And he has 6,000 years experience ahead of you. Hallelujah. At least 6,000. That's why you need God in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God does not deal with smartness. He deals with wisdom. Hallelujah. Wisdom comes from above. Hallelujah. Wisdom is profitable to all things. Wisdom brings solution to all things. And even when some things don't work our way, wisdom still gives us light to see the meaning. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. Yeah? It looked like it was finished. Even when Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. Some people say, yes, we agree. It is truly. No, actually, let me explain. When Jesus said it's finished on the floor, some people look at it and say, oh, yes, we agree, you are finished. It is, I'm finished. He said, it is what? It is finished. Hallelujah. And the devil in his smartness, he don't understand too. He thought he got him. Hallelujah. Do you know Jesus went to hell? He went down. Hallelujah. Where did he go? He didn't commit any sin, but he took our sin upon himself. And he went down. He was happy. We got him. The Bible says, at the princes of this world, no, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. On the third day, God, that's why the Bible says, on the third day, he rose from the dead. He said, God raised him. Hallelujah. Because he went down. It took God, the Father, to raise him. Hallelujah. Because the devil did not understand that through the crucifixion of the cross and the sacrifice, the price had been paid. The legal requirement had been met. He didn't understand that part. Very smart, but very foolish. Bible says he spoiled them. Hallelujah. And that's why I'm telling you that your life has the greatest meaning when you find your purpose in God. Hallelujah. Because he made you. Teacher says, God made me. And he has a good plan for my life. Hallelujah. Have you ever thought about it? If your life is all about, you know, getting a good certificate, go to a good school, get a good certificate, get a good job, have a good house, a good car, you know, decorate your house and redecorate it, you know, go for nice holidays and all that. Is that all? Hallelujah. As we said last week, those are just things we need to live. That's not the life. Amen? The life is bigger than the need. Amen? He said your life is greater than what you need. That's, your life is not about that. Your life is about how you allow God to use you to touch other people's lives. Amen? That's why you came. Amen? That's the real value of your life. You are here on earth. God has put some talents in you. He has put some gifts in you. There is nobody born without gift. Nobody. Even the The poorest person has gift. Even people that are disabled, they have gift. And by the way, it's not God's perfect way that they are disabled. It's the work of the enemy. Amen? That's why Jesus said, I've come to destroy the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. If I see something in my life that is oppressive and depressive, it's not the work of God. Don't praise God for it. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you because I was sick yesterday. No. That's why you go to the GP. Amen? It's the work of what? The enemy. But you know the good news I want to share with you is that God has not left you to just toil alone. Oh, no. He has provided the answer. And the answer is in Jesus. But the way you connect to it is through faith. Hallelujah. It's like you have electricity, yeah? But you need a switch. Oh, the electricity may be there. The electricity is still there, you know? Do you know electricity is still there? It's still here right now. Hallelujah. God's power is here right now. God's power is here right now. Just like electrical power is here right now. Yeah? We can live here for 1,000,000 years and not experience electrical power if we don't put on the switch. Amen? The same way. If we don't begin to connect to God's power with our faith. He said, God, I'm waiting. God was ready. Amen? This is the switch. Your spiritual switch is faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. It says, and without faith. What happens? That word is too strong for me. Without faith, it is what? Impossible. Now, I know many times I read in my Bible, it said, to him that believes, all things are. Now, but the reverse is that without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please God. Can you believe it? Think about it. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. The most important thing God needs in your life, first and foremost, is your faith. After your faith, your works. Amen. All your good works will never qualify you before God. If you like, be the nicest person on earth, it will not. Jeremiah. One more. All your good works will never qualify you. He needs to go to the children's church. All your good works will never qualify you before God. Have you ever thought about it? Amen? Be the nicest person. It will not qualify you. Amen? That's why to come to God, what do you need? You need faith. Hallelujah. By faith, we receive. And the first thing you receive from God is the salvation of your soul. Do you know that actually the salvation of your soul is the greatest gift? Hallelujah. I know it. I know it because if it was not the greatest gift, Jesus would have come to the world as a rich man. He would have even come as a king. Hallelujah. By faith, you received the finished work. Amen? Jesus paid for it. You accept it and make it yours. Hallelujah. He said, with your heart, you believe. And that becomes you righteousness. And with your mouth, you confess. And that becomes you what? Salvation. Hallelujah. That's the greatest gift. The next greatest gift you can receive from God is the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The Holy Spirit living inside of you is the down payment of your total redemption. He said, God, where are you? He said, I'm inside. Did you know that if you are truly born again, the Holy Spirit is inside you? He said, I will give you the Spirit of truth. It will abide with you forever. But if you are not born again, it's not inside. It's outside knocking your door. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That means it's not inside. But if you are born again, the Holy Spirit is in you. I was sharing with someone on Friday. I said, There are different types of prayer. When you have a request, you pray to the Father. He's in heaven. You know, the Father is in heaven. He said, our Father in heaven. Amen? When you need light, when you need understanding, you meditate on the Word. The Word is the Son. Because it's the Word of God. Amen? If I want to reach Jesus now, what do I need to do? Meditate on the Word. He said, I'm the bread of life. What do you do to bread? You eat. I tell you something. You are not eating. That's why you are weak spiritually. You are not eating. You see, look, if food is provided and you refuse to eat, it's not God's fault. Hello? The Holy Spirit is speaking to somebody here today. Food has been served. You refuse to act on it and eat. It's actually, you're looking at me. You're thinking of the day I will visit your house, yeah? You're going to be, I will eat. I went to visit some relations. It was the last bank holiday, It was my wife's cousins. So we got there. Nice food was prepared, served. So they're asking me, say, Pastor, will you eat? Because some pastors don't, you know, eat. So we are ready to pack it for you. I said, well, that is them. I'm here. I will eat. Then if I finish eating, I need more. I will pack. Food is ready. What do you need to do? God will never eat for you. But God can do something for you. Because some of you have experienced it before. It's just that you didn't want to grow. God can spoon feed you if you're a baby. Huh? But when you're supposed to stop being a baby, He will stop spoon feeding you. Just like you did to your baby. Yes, mommy? Do you agree? When, after a while, you've heard about God and you know God, and then you stop, you want to be spoon fed forever, God will stop. Because that is breaking the law. You will never grow if you are being spoon fed all your life. Now you have to what? Eat. Praise the Lord. That's how you commune with Jesus. But the third one, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and what? And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about it? You say it all the time. You don't know what's the meaning of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's in you. If I need guidance, because He's my helper, He's there to lead me and guide me on a daily basis. So if you need guidance, you don't pray to the Father. If I need a new car now, I pray to the Father. Amen? But if I need guidance, today I'm going out, I have 5 options. Which one should I do? It's a conversation. It's in me. You see, it's not here. This one, it's just a pump, biological. It's not your heart. This is your biological heart that pumps blood around your body. That's not the heart in the Bible. The heart in the Bible is the center of your being. It's your spirit. The core. Some people call it your subconscious. That's the heart. It's your spirit. And I know where it is. It's in your belly. Because the Bible says that he that believes out of his belly shall flow what? Yeah? He said, but what happens to those who have a transplant? Nothing. It's just biology. It has nothing to do with their spirit. Amen? Your heart is your spirit. And that's where God connects with you first. And the proof that you have a spirit is your conscience. Amen? When your conscience nudges you, that's spiritual. Amen? It's not mental. This is your soul in your head, yeah. Your soul is your consciousness. All the things you see and feel, they are interpreted where? In your brain. This is your soul. But your spirit is your heart. And that's where God connects with you. Now, whatever is happening in your spirit can influence every other thing happening in your life. Amen? Because your spirit is the deepest part of your being. So when you need guidance in your life, you need to have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Just like I'm talking to you. Say, Holy Spirit, thank you. This is how I do it. It's very simple. Holy Spirit, thank you because you are in me. How did I know it? The Bible said it. Hallelujah. He said, we abide with you forever. He's in me. Yes, Christian.
How would you know, like, if it's a very small urge, how would you know the difference between your conscience and what you're thinking and what's coming from the Holy Spirit?
Amen. Very good question. Thank you. Thank you, son. Remember, what you are thinking is in your head. What you are also feeling. Where is it? If you feel low, where is it interpreted? If you're happy, but your conscience is in your innermost being. Yeah? When God wants to speak to you, usually, most of the time in your life, most of your life, you will hear from God from here. There are two ways. The inner witness. Amen? So when God is speaking to you, one of the things that comes along with it is peace. Hallelujah? That's a witness. Amen? I'm trying to make two decisions. I've asked the Lord, or has the Holy Spirit is leading me now. When I hear it and I receive it, I have peace. A peace that passes all. See, they are separate. Peace that passes all. Amen? So inner witness, that's peace. But there's an inner voice, which is a still, small voice. That's it. Go there. Do that. Stop doing that. Praise the Lord. Do you know that your miracles are packaged in every instruction that God gives you is a miracle if you obey it. Listen to this. You say, oh, but you know, why am I not experiencing miracles? It's because every time God spoke to you, you didn't follow. So you lost the miracle because the miracle is packaged within the instruction. But to obey the instruction, you need faith. Hello? You need what? You need faith. He said, there was a blind man in the Bible. The Bible said, I was reading this. He said, Jesus spit on his eyes. If you do that today, court case. Amen. Well, let's explain this. Think about it. He was blind already. What harm can a spit do to a blind eye? Huh? The eye was already useless, yeah? Hallelujah. Some people, they will just be wasting their time thinking of the spit on the blind eye, but the eye was useless already. Amen? Sometimes you don't understand the ways of the Spirit. Amen? But I tell you something, as I meditated on it, the spit was coming from Jesus' body. He was carrying an anointing that made a contact. Amen? He now said, go and wash. If he stayed there, no miracle. Are you listening to me? If he stayed there, no miracle. Do you know why? Because without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark 11. Let me show you the principle of faith. Why I've not gone into my text so far is I just yielded to the Holy Spirit, let him speak. I asked for utterance, and so when he brought it, I spoke it. It's not like in the plan. But I believe that is the word for somebody. But let me just open to Mark 11 and show you some basic principles of faith which I want you to apply. Because if ever you will live victoriously on this life, and when I say victoriously, I'm talking about supernaturally. You see, your brain is not supposed to dictate your life. Your brain is a messenger. Its job is to implement. Hello? You know, like you have a computer at home, yeah? Your computer is not supposed to lead you. It's supposed to help you. Hello? It's a computer. Let me say that again. Your computer is to help you achieve what you want to achieve. The day you start telling your computer to make all the decisions of your life for you, you are in trouble. Are you with me? But if you have a purpose to achieve, the tool can help you to achieve it. That's what the brain is. The brain is the cart. It's not the horse. What does the cart do? It carries the load. When you let your brain lead your life explicitly, you are going to have lots of load to carry. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Don't carry them. Amen? Now, what is the horse? It's your spirit. The spirit you lead, the brains you carry. Hello? Don't let your brain lead your spirit. It was not created to do that. And when you let it happen, it's going to be toil and worry, yeah, and unrighteousness. Let your spirit lead. But your spirit cannot lead your... your spirit cannot lead you if you are not going to live by faith. Amen? Your spirit cannot lead you if you are not going to live by faith. Because when the spirit leads you, what you are seeing may not agree initially. Are you with me? The facts may not agree. You see, every time God wants to do a miracle, the only reason why you need a miracle is because the facts are not agreeing, isn't it? Yeah? You want to cross the other side and there's a Red Sea. So what did the fact tell you? It's in what? It's impossible. Yeah? So if I'm going to now follow what the Holy Spirit is saying, like in case of Moses, said, pick up your stick, strike the water. Yeah? The facts cannot make sense. Does it make sense? But he has received an instruction. Hallelujah. And God will never give you an instruction that you can't obey. Listen to that. Because God is a good God. He will never give you an instruction that you cannot obey. He will always give you an instruction that you can obey, though it may not make sense. I'm a very realistic person. So if you are realistic and you fall sick and the doctor says there is no solution, so how realistic can you be now? What are you going to do? If you're going to have a turnaround at all, you need to go beyond realistic. Are you with me? But let me just explain to you again. It is not only physical things that are real. Mental things are also real. Ask somebody who is struggling in their emotions. Ask somebody who has just been separated. Ask somebody who has been hurt. You will know that though it's not physical, it's as real. Even more real. A mental pain can be greater than a physical pain. You agree? But still, spiritual things are more real than mental things. And spiritual things are more real than physical things. That's why if I want a safe anchor for my life, I have to anchor it spiritually. It's the deepest part of your being. Hallelujah. That's why you can have peace even in the midst of the storms. Hallelujah. Because you have anchored it on truth, not just facts. Facts change all the time. This week, from Thursday, I've had a battle in my body. But you know, God does not guarantee us that we will not face challenges in life. Amen? I never read it. He said, when you are going through the fire, I will be with you. And do we see an example? Yes. We saw those three evil boys. They were casting the kind. The thing said, I will see who can deliver you. He said they should hit it 7 times. Even the people who trained them, the fire devoured them. Hallelujah. But what happened? He said, oh king, if the Lord shows up to deliver us, fine. Even if it's not, we are anchored. We are preferred to die than to bow to you. That's faith. Hallelujah. Faith is not grumbling. It's not like, let's just try it. He has made a decision. I trust God. Amen. Whether in life or in death. I trust God. So what happened? The son, and a fourth person showed up in the fire. And the Bible said that they were not even consumed. Hallelujah. Nothing touched them. Nothing. And nobody told this king. He saw himself. He said, I see a fourth person. And his appearance is like the appearance of what? Of the Son of God. Hallelujah. You like those type of miracles, don't you? Sister Pamela, you like those miracles? Yes. You know, you told me that in New Testament, many miracles. But not without making a decision. Those miracles never happen until they made their decision. Hallelujah. But you don't just make those decisions. You make it based on your knowledge of who God is. That's why you need to meditate on the Word. Because when you meditate on the Word, your confidence in who God is will increase. And then you can make a demand of it. Thursday, I had prayer cell. As I was finishing that prayer cell and I was praying, a pain just struck me at the back of my head to my neck. I could not turn. Like, I could not bend. Normally, I postpone my dinner until after prayer because I believe that when you eat, you are more likely to be sloppy and sleepy in prayer. Somebody needs to try that. 10 o'clock to eat my dinner was a problem. As I took the first bite, as I swallowed, pain in my neck, back. Luckily, my wife was there. I was like, where is this coming from? But you don't keep quiet. I spoke to it. I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Use this pain. Leave my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand what I'm trying to explain to you. There's a reason why your body is temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. If my body is sick, I can't function. So how will the Holy Spirit use me? If this morning now, I can't talk, how can I preach? The reason why your body is temple of the Holy Spirit is so that it can use you to bear fruit of righteousness. Hallelujah. It's not for fun. Hallelujah. So when I'm saying it that way, I'm not just quoting it. I understand the meaning. I said, I need this body to do the will of God and bless lives. I said, leave. He stayed there. I'm explaining to you how faith works. Hallelujah. He said, you have to believe that you have received it. Then you will have it. Someone say, oh, when I have it, I know I've received it. No. Remember that God is a spirit. He is the Father of spirits. Anything God will do your life first happens spiritually. For example, if you are trusting God, for example, for a life partner, a spouse. Yeah? A life partner, a spouse, marriage. We're talking about marriage now. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, don't worry about anything. But in all things, through what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Your request be made. When we read it sometimes, the revelation has levels. You just think he's just repeating himself. Huh? He said prayer. What is supplication? It's not prayer. Is supplication not prayer? Is thanksgiving not a form of prayer? So is it repetition? Let me explain it to you as the Holy Spirit showed me. When you pray, that first prayer is you're asking gently, gently. Father, I need a life partner. Huh? Some things we need in life, there's just you need to make simple requests and you will get them. Not every difficulty is on the same level. Mountains are not the same height. They are not the same weight and are not the same width. Some mountains are bigger than others. Do you agree? First give it prayer. Prayer did not work. Move to the next level. What's the next level? Supplication. You know what supplication is? Fervent petition. This is now time to change gear. You know, when you're driving, you don't still remain on J1. If you are just going within town or within village or country road, you may just do one and two, isn't it? But when you get on the motorway, J2 is not enough. Hallelujah. Motorway, J2 is not what? Enough. But somebody wants to stay on J2 all their life. And say, it's not working. Some things don't demand prayer. They demand what? Supplication. Get your need. Fasting and prayer. Not just fasting. So most of the fasting we do nowadays is not good fasting. Shall I tell you why? Most of the fasting we do is not good fasting. Most of the fasting we do nowadays is hunger strike. I'm telling you the truth. Because you need to check Jesus, then you see the example of fasting. If you want to do true fasting, you need to lock yourself away and spend time with God, both in prayer and in the Word. Because that's the time you can hear. I told you, in every instruction is a miracle. Are you with me? Well, when I just, abstain from paper and lunch, I go to work, struggle, I doze half the time, I wake up half the time, I try not to get angry, I got angry a bit, and then ask for forgiveness, and then everything, then I come back home, 6 o'clock, praise the Lord! Where's my dinner? We are not making the most of that time. So you move to supplication. Yeah, this one, it demands serious business. And you want to do serious business. I can show you, you can go to Hebrews. Bible talks about Jesus. That it said, there's a prayer I pray with strong crying. It's in Hebrews. That's supplication. You have made your petition known. This is a petition. It's strong. Yeah? So you move to the next level. I said some things will be answered at the level of basic prayer. Just asking. You know, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. It didn't stop there. No. It says, seek and you shall what? That's like supplication level. And then it says, knock and it shall be open. Now, I don't want to stop there. You don't stop at supplication. Some of you have been making supplication all your life. No answer. No result. Because there's another level. This is the level you must get to in your supplication that you should be able to know that God has said you. Otherwise, he must be deaf. You get me? If God is not deaf, you must reach a point whereby you know that you have fully expressed yourself to God with the depth of desire that you need to express it. And you know that, yeah, I've done it. I've poured it all out. At the point I've poured it all out, I should be able to know by faith that God has heard me. If I don't know that God has heard me, then I've not yet prayed through. And if all my life I'm just making supplication, I have a problem. I'm not using my faith. It's faith plus power that gives miracle, not just only power. Power can be there. If there's no faith, there will be no miracle. That's why Jesus always say, daughter, your faith has made you. He didn't even say my power. He said your faith. Hallelujah. So now, when you've made this application, there must be a level you reach that you believe that you have what? Received it. Hallelujah. At that point, you change gear. And you move into peace. You move into rest. Amen? When you the proof that you believe you receive something is that you have peace and confidence and rest. And one of the basic proofs of receiving is somebody says, if I promise you a gift and you believe that you have received it, what do you say to me next?
Thank you.
Thanksgiving! So you see, that's another level now, a higher level. So I'm walking about now. I'm no longer worried about that thing. I'm trusting God for a life partner, but I've come to a point whereby I know that he has heard me. I just moved about. I said, sister, when are you going to wait? I said, don't worry. It's done. He said, truth. He said, do you know? I said, no. He said, how? He said, by faith. Because faith is the substance of things and the evidence of things. He said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. He said, he has heard me. I've received it. You have taken hold of it. It's now yours. It's a matter of delivery time. Amen? You know, when you place that order on Amazon, the moment you click and say payment through, what happens to you? No more issue. Your wife can say, Olu, when is it coming? He said, it's on the way. It's just a delivery problem. Even when it doesn't show up, you say, it's not a problem of order. It's been done. There must be a problem just with delivery. Amen. And if there's a problem with delivery, there's something you can do. Spiritually. Because in the physical, there's a problem. You're going to call and find out about the delivery. Yeah? In the spiritual, how do you ensure that your delivery does not fail? You affirm what you believe. Hallelujah. You affirm it. Look at the principle of faith. He said, if you will say to this mountain, be removed, then you don't doubt in your heart. What brings doubt? Time. If there's time problem or delay problem, that's a part of life. But doubt comes in your head. But after you allow doubt, when you meditate on doubt, it moves from your head to your heart. And it destroys your faith. He said, if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass. Now, he didn't say what you say. What he says. Says. More plural. He will have whatever he says. So when I believe I've received something, I've entered into rest. I've entered into confidence. Yeah? I'll just affirm it. So what did I do with myself? You have to believe that you have received it. If you, for example, you're touching God for healing, believe, you have to believe that you have received it. Amen? How do you believe that you have received it? Because you have the confidence in what God has promised. So I said, well, you don't belong to my body. I thought to myself, so maybe it's just, maybe it's an evil spirit that just jumped, because evil spirit can jump on your body and try to oppress your body. It's not just sickness. I rebuked it. I said, no spirit, are you hearing me? The Holy Spirit lives where? Yeah. That's the meaning of my body's temple. So, any evil spirit of oppression, you don't have a right word here. So I'm telling you that I do not permit you. I do not permit, I don't know about you, but I do not permit you in my body. Amen? Now the pain was still there. But I entered into rest. I went back, I ate my dinner. It's a bit painful, but I entered into rest. I believe that I what? I received. Amen? Hallelujah. That's how you do it. Until the fact we conform to the truth. Amen. Let me see the time. I don't want to keep it too long. Okay, I'll just try to round up in 5 minutes. Let's go to Mark and read it. Then I'll break it down. Mark 11, verse 22 to 24. Let me have someone read. Mark 11, 22-24. Say to your neighbor, say, you have to start believing. Please, let's say that again. Say to your neighbor, say, you have to start believing. Tell them again, say, believing is not gambling. And gambling is not believing. I'm telling you, you have to think about that. Believing is not gambling. And gambling is not believing. It's not a gamble. It's a choice. Firm, resolute choice and confidence. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 22-24. Let's read it and we round up within 5 minutes. Yes. Mark 11, 22-24.
Mark chapter 11, verse 22-24. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be that removed.
Can you notice there? He said, whosoever. That means it's available to everyone. Yes, go on.
Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said.
Yes.
Therefore I say unto you,
I'm saying to you, this is Jesus, not just Pastor Ben, this is Jesus. I'm saying to you, yes.
What things soever you desire.
Whatever you desire. Yeah.
When you pray.
When you pray.
Believe that you receive them.
Believe that you receive them.
And ye shall have them.
And ye shall have them. When do you have to believe that you receive them? Before you have them or after you've had them?
Before you have them.
Because that's it. Spiritual level. Let me just break that down and we finish there. Firstly, see the steps. What things soever you desire. Sometimes we fail at the desire level. I'm telling you, pray, but you don't have serious desire. Amen. You don't desire it enough. Remember the story in the Bible? We talk about a Greek woman, a Syrophoenician, who came to Jesus to ask him to pray for a child who was being troubled. Yeah? Do you remember the story? And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to pray for you. Imagine that. I have to keep the meat for the children, which is the Jews. Now, basically, you're not Jewish, so my ministry does not extend to you, and I'm not praying for you. Huh? And if you read that in the Bible, you'll be surprised that, how can Jesus say that? Is it not God, the Son of God? Hallelujah. And the woman just stayed there and said, okay, even if the meat does not belong with the children, I'm prepared to be a dog and eat the crumbs from the table. What was Jesus doing? Was he being racist? No. He was testing our faith. But actually, if I will break it down more, our desire. If the desire was not strong, she would give up at that point and go. Amen? What things soever, what? You desire. You know what desire does? He says, someone said, the proof of your desire is pursuit. If you desire something, you will pursue it. Some miracles will show up in my life if I pursue it, pursue this stronger. Spiritually, I mean. You remember, everything I'm telling you is spiritual. I'm not just saying, I'm not interested in the physical level. You know that already. If you pursue it stronger spiritually. I say someone is having a problem. You never read any book about it. Some people have mastered some of the problems you are going through. Someone is suffering emotionally. There are books that some people, they've suffered emotionally. They've overcome it. Now they have a ministry to people suffering emotionally. And they've written books. You don't read zero. Instead, you are downloading all the mess on TV. Are you with me? You are not desiring that breakthrough enough. All you are looking for is a quick fix. Are you with me? The desire is not strong. When my desire is strong, I will pursue the solution. Like my life depended on it. Hallelujah. So say, I want for the rest of my life, I want to live in divine health. He read in the Bible, said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm what? So I want to live in divine health. I don't even want to have to use any paracetamol again. I didn't tell you not to use paracetamol. Amen. Okay. It's a good decision. So what are you going to do about it now? Yeah? You're going to spend your time, waste your time in the club and the pub and waste your time, playing about, and then you just think you just live it right? No, you're going to feed. You're going to what? You're going to feed. There are some people that 40 years, they lived in they never sick. I'm not saying there are many, there are not many, but there are. They've mastered that part. They've written books. They've preached sermons. You're not listening. So your desire is not strong, sir. It's a wish. It's not a desire. And you know what they say, that if wishes were, what will happen? I didn't say it. Praise the Lord. So you see that sometimes we just feel on that level already. When you desire something, you will ask, you will seek, and you will knock. Amen? You will not sit back and say, God, do it. Because God always acts in cooperation with the will of man. God doesn't force. The devil forces you. The devil pushes you. God doesn't push you. Say, God, push me. He said, I don't push. He does it. Hallelujah. He's a gentleman. He's all powerful, but his power will only move when your will cooperates. Are you with me? If I don't offer my will to God and say, yeah, I give you the permission now through my faith and my desire to act, the power will not flow. Because if the power flowed, he's forcing it on me. That's why, for example, God wants every soul to be saved, but he can't save them by force. Are you with me? What things soever you desire. What's the proof of desire? Pursuit. When you want, pray. That's the next level. You should what? So, another problem is that we're not praying enough. I know it. I'm a pastor. We are eating and drinking, but we're not praying. Someone asked me a question. They said, I don't want to, for time's sake. Disciples could not cast out the demon. And Jesus said, this will not come out except by prayer and fasting. So I said, but why? He's not talking about the prayer and fasting for that day. Sister Shelley, please, I want you to help me cast out this demon now. I said, wait, okay, I'm going to go and pray and fast now. No! He's talking about the one you are doing regularly. Because what he does is that process purifies your faith and increases your confidence. You are ready for action. That's why you see most of the time when Jesus is doing miracle, he doesn't pray long prayer. He has prayed it before. He will just say, Epaphra, be opened. Because the other day he spent all night praying. The other day he woke up early in the morning to go and pray. We're not praying. Then third level now, you've prayed. He said, believe. Because what's the whole point of your praying, sister, if you will not believe that God has done it? That means you are gambling. God doesn't like gambling. Hello? God doesn't like gambling, and he doesn't want you to gamble. Yeah? He wants you to be decisive. You've prayed, believe. It's not your universe. But I say believe. You know, anything you're going to achieve in life, you need to believe. Even in the physical world, yeah? Whatever you're chasing, if you don't believe, you can't go far. Am I talking some truth there? Believe. When are you going to start believing that God has heard your prayer? When it happens, yeah? Then you don't achieve much result. That's why it has not happened. Believe. Let me tell you the advantage of believing. The advantage of believing is that you can receive instruction. Amen? You are more likely to hear God when you are at rest than when you are worrying. When you are worrying, you are more likely to make mistakes. When you are at rest, you are more likely to hear what God is saying. That's why you need to believe that you have received. Hallelujah. Let's stop there. Let's rise up.